Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
And thank you so much for tuning in. Happy 4th of July to all those celebrating in the U.S. I know with the country being the way it is, I know probably a lot of people won't celebrate, but if you are, hey, don't let this be the last weekend that you have five fingers on each hand. And because of 4th of July, we decided to do a 4th of July theme. If you don't know, if people who are listening across the don't know what 4th of July is, it's our Independence Day. And that's where we, you know, pop fireworks and drink and cook and
eat way too much.
Eat way too much, yeah.
Then drink way too much and go out and like start blowing things up.
Yeah. So in celebration, we decided to do Uncle Sam, which is directed by William Lustig. And if you don't know who he is, he's the one who did Maniac, which was kind of loosely based on Son of Sam. And Maniac Cop 1, 2, and 3. And so you already know where this is going. Now, this was the last film that he did.
He disappeared into obscurity directly after this.
And after our review, you will know why it's the last film that he did. Yeah, it is the last film. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's his last film that he ever did.
So we were looking for a movie to do. We wanted to do something kind of different, you know, especially with a theme to this week. And we found Uncle Sam. Never seen it before. I never even heard it before until
that fateful day when it entered our lives.
But those who don't know who Uncle Sam is, he's kind of our, you know,
it's like our mascot.
Our mascot, the U.S. mascot. You know, you got your bald eagles and you got your Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Pretty much, I believe, World War II.
He surfaced around there. He was used widely on like recruiting posters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The I Want You.
Still cartoons before that, like that predated that. But yeah, he came really into effect in World War II. He was a symbol of American patriotism and, you know, basically.
Yeah, especially during World War II. That was a big,
That was a big, like if you look up his image, you're probably going to see an image and it says, I want you.
Yeah.
And that was because he basically wanted, it was propaganda to get you to volunteer to, you know.
For military service or for. What was it?
There's all kinds of stuff. War bonds, you know,
stuff like that.
Steel drives, rubber drives. There was
tons of stuff. So, yeah. So this movie, however, is not any about any of that.
Has nothing to do with the previous conversation.
Does have something to do with Uncle Sam.
Oh, it absolutely does.
But pretty much, this movie follows a young boy whose uncle is in the military, and he's very proud of his uncle. Beginning of the movie starts with, you know, in Kuwait. Military choppers shot down. They find, you know, the remnants of it, and it's later found out that it was shot down by friendly fire. And so one of the co-pilots is, you know, Sam. His name is Sam Harper, and he kills the two soldiers because of he was
he kills know. Sarge. He kills the master sergeant.
Yeah, he kills the master
sergeant. Because the master sergeant's there, and well, for those of you who aren't familiar with the terminology. But friendly fire is essentially you're killed by your own team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your own troops basically have killed you typically by accident.
Yeah.
There have been cases that have obviously been, you know, speculated that it wasn't. But yeah, overall, it's pretty much being killed by your own side.
Yeah. Yeah. Mistakes happen. And, yeah. But what was crazy, so he kills the two dudes, the dude that, you know, is getting his dog tags and, of course, the
yeah, because they're identifying the bodies, who they are in the chopper.
Now, when you see them, they look like, you know, they just got shot down. They're burned up, you know, stuff like that. Because he kills them. He comes back and he, like, kills them, right? And then you get introduced to the boy, and which I forgot his name, dude. I was so focused on
The little boy,
the wildness of this movie.
That's Jody.
Jody, right?
Yeah, little Jody Baker. Yeah.
And you could see, he's real proud of his uncle. He wants to be just like him.
He's got his war medals under his bed.
Yeah, and his little ammo box. So he's like, loves his uncle. And you were like, okay, that's sweet, I was thinking that this is going to be like, oh, dude, like, because of what happened to him, he's going to come back for revenge, and he's going to start, like, slaughtering people. Different.
Whole different take.
Different take.
They went in a completely different direction on this.
The little boy lives with his mom and his aunt. His aunt was the one who was married to Sam Harper. And pretty much, he was in my... I'm assuming, because they never kind of describe it, but I'm assuming, because when they bring him back to the States and they find him, and they bring him back, I'm assuming he was MIA.
Yeah, I think the chopper went down.
Yeah.
And due to the fact, by whatever holy charge took a hold of his body, his body was never located. And so then he essentially, stayed in waiting. I get the feeling that it's, I think it's, a 2.5-3 year period
where they
didn't know where he was, because the wife said in reference in passing that she hadn't dated in 2 years, and she's in the relationship with the town sheriff.
Yeah.
And so they're just getting around to formalizing the relationship. So she said 2 years. So yeah, it's probably been about 3 years.
Two or three years.
Since Sam's been,
Now, mind you, okay, here's what bothered me. Now, the mom and the aunt aren't related, but they look so much alike. It was kind of hard for me to distinct their kind of personal lives.
Yeah.
So, when the boy goes in, he drops the picture of his uncle, glasses everywhere, steps on an accident, goes into the mom's room. But then the next morning, it's like
the aunt's there.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, this is the mom, but it's not the mom, and I'm like, oh, so that's a little confusing. So if you watch it, it's like,
yeah, there's two separate female roles in the movie.
Yeah, but they look very, very close,
very close to each other. Like they could have been sisters.
But yeah, and it's just like he wants to be like his uncle, but they don't, because I'm assuming there was a darker side. I mean, there was a darker side too.
Yeah, they tell you later, but yeah.
And so they were like you don't want to be like him. Pretty much just pushing him, hey, don't be like him. Just
They're little. I don't know. The kid's not 4 or 5, and they just kind of keep referencing oh no, there's this I don't know, he's kicking puppies or something.
Yeah.
They keep eluding that there's something dark about Sam, because a poor kid kind of. He feels like he's kind of being patriot shamed, even at school, because he's man, there's all these people he has show and tell, and he has the medals.
Calls out the hippie teacher.
He calls out the teacher because the teacher basically was a conscientious objector and didn't go to Vietnam, and he's like, well, you know, some people served and went to Canada, and he's like, cause you're a commie pinko or whatever, and it was just like.
Well, he calls him a coward.
He calls him a coward.
Well, he said that his uncle called them cowards, those who left the country.
Yeah, after he called him a coward dead on. He's like, oh, wait a minute, but those were my uncle's words, not mine. I might get suspended for this, yeah.
Now, of course, knowing what we know now about the Vietnam conflict, of course, this movie came out in 1996, so
yeah.
I guess it was different feelings then.
No, it was about the same. I mean, 96, we had, obviously, Desert Storm. We entered Desert Storm in 91. So, literally, this came kind of on the tail end of, Iraqi freedom and all that. Yeah. So we're right in between our Middle East conflicts there here in the United States.
This coward teacher.
Yeah. I'm going to, go back to my G.I. Joe men in my room and plan battles.
And pretty much, what he says is that, his uncle believed his uncle was hardcore. I wouldn't say patriot. This is
dude. He was the America love it or leave it guy. That's what he was. He was the quintessential. It wasn't necessarily a devout form of patriotism. as you meet more and more characters and cast in the movie, you learn that Sam was not a good person.
No, he wasn't.
Sam was just intrinsically violent.
Yeah.
And of course...
And he joined the military because he was very violent.
And in this movie, of course, there's only one true reason to join the military. And that's because you basically, somehow, you had a connection with Isaac Hayes... AKA, yeah, Isaac Hayes is in the movie.
Yes,
for those of you who don't recognize the name. So he was the Duke of New York in Escape from New York.
Yeah, Escape from New York.
He was best known as Chef from South Park.
Yes.
So
yeah, most people would know him as Chef from South Park.
But in this movie, he's, you know, Sergeant Jed.
Sergeant Jed.
You know, where Jed came from, now, I have no idea.
Jed is a war veteran. We don't know which war, but he is able because
Jed lives by the one light up sign in town. The poor guy.
Well, okay. At first, you think, oh, he might have served with Sam, right?
Yeah.
And that he got his leg blown off because he has a wooden leg, and then he got his leg blown off. But then he talks about like being in the Korean War.
He was talking about being in the Korean War.
Yeah.
But then as you go into, like, he lives by this one light-up deli sign. It's the only neon sign in the whole town. Poor guy. Can't afford, on his veteran salary, he can't afford a better place. So he's living above the deli in his little apartment. And he's looking at his apartment, and you see, like, a box. And it's got two cannonballs. And it says, you know, it's a handmade-out note to him from Sam.
Yeah.
Sam has gifted him... It looks like the little, you know, the little harmony balls that you use.
Yeah, just like ball bearings.
But they're freaking cannonballs. So he's got the cannonballs. And then he looks at these pictures because he's going through, I think he's having like a little PTSD moment.
Yeah.
And he kind of feels like a schmuck because of what happened to Sam.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of living on the, you know, the ongoing memory of Sam.
And see, that's where I thought he was like, he had served with him. That's where I thought. But he's supposed to be older than Sam.
Yeah. So I don't know how, they don't really explain what the relationship was beforehand, before like Sam went all gung-ho and went over to Kuwait.
Yeah.
But Jed looks at this picture and Jed's he says he was in Korea, but he's got a picture. He's like a Tuskegee Airman. And I'm like, what the hell? That's World War II. But lo and behold, if you saw Maniac or Maniac Cop, you kind of understand, you know, even if you watch this movie and you see the way that the story jumps around, there's a lot of...
Yeah, because especially in Maniac, oh my God, the ending of that was weird. And the cool part was Tom Savini's head being blown off.
Blown off, yep.
But yeah, it just, he has a way of kind of, I don't know, jumping around a little bit. Or changing, you know...
Rewriting history.
Rewriting not only history, not only just his movies, but history, apparently. But
World War II.
But he's a cool dude, man. Shaft is... See, that's the thing, too. You need Shaft, man. You got to have Shaft in the movie.
I don't know what they were going for. Like,
but
I forget who they originally had tried to get cast for it. It was someone else. It wasn't Isaac Hayes. But nonetheless, Isaac Hayes stepped up. I think he did a good job. You know,
he has a good character.
I mean, it was a great character. It was just some of the flaws of the whole Jed thing, which will come up later. It's just not really thinking things through.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So it's kind of like they introduce you to everybody's, like, lives, you know, individually.
Yeah.
Not as a combined unit. Everybody's kind of got something going. The aunt is dating, you know...
And the mom, her.
Yeah, and the mom, that was another thing that was just really confusing. So I thought it was the aunt with a boyfriend. I'm like, ain't she dating the sheriff?
Yeah.
And then it was like, this kid, you know, Jody, dude, he's capping on everybody.
Dude, he
does
not.
So mom's boyfriend is like, he's trying to skirt the IRS for some money.
Yeah.
That, like, his corporation owes them. And he's like, so you think it's right to steal from the government? And I'm just like, wow, this kid's really got it in. Like, he's a real stickler.
Yeah, this kid is like...
But, yeah, when I saw that guy, I was like, why? Who's this that she's, like, dating? Like, that's not the same guy. That's not the sheriff.
Yeah.
But...
It was the mom.
Yeah, it was the mom's boyfriend.
Yeah, his boyfriend, he's a lawyer. He's, you know, swindling. Well, he was talking about a strategy they used to kind of, like, win the case against the government. And Jody's like, oh, so you cheated? And he's like, no. He goes, we're just smarter than them. And he goes, he's like, I don't want to eat. Like, I don't want to eat dinner no more. Like, this unpatriotic SOB is maybe losing my appetite. Dude, he just, yeah. So the teacher, the mom's new, you know, fling, or not new, I guess he's been there for a while because he's eating dinner with them.
Yeah.
But he just, yeah, he's not having it, man, because he's like, my uncle said, you know, if anybody craps on this country.
You just take care of them.
Pretty much. Dude. But the aunt does come back from the date with the sheriff, and that's when pretty much telling you.
Oh, the sergeant. Yeah, sergeant. Basically, yeah, he's, you know, that's Sergeant Twining, this guy's character comes, and he's like waiting on the porch when the auntie gets home from a date.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, got some news to tell you. Yeah. And this is where it gets real weird. He's like, yeah, we found Sam. And she's like, oh my gosh. He's like, oh, it's going to be okay. Come on, give Papa a hug, kind of thing.
What was weird is, like, you know, they found Sam. And he's like, you know, he's gone. Like,
yeah, we're gonna bury him at, you know, basically give him full honors. We're gonna go down to, you know, the cemetery, you know, my family's military, and we've gone up, and you know, the VA takes care of everything.
Yeah,
you like go to the veterans, you know, the veterans cemetery, they bury you, they take care of everything. There's no payment due, they take care of all of that.
Yeah,
but he's like, oh yeah, well, we've got the body. Do you want us to take him down and, you know, bury him? Full honors, ma'am. Full honors. We'll take him out. We'll bury him. And she's like, no, he already has a place by his mom and dad. So we're like, okay, well, we'll bring him and drop him off like in a sarcophagus in your living room. Like, I just didn't.
That was the thing, is like they got him right from the morgue and they just dumped him in the living room.
Absolutely. And he's now, not in a
mind
coffin.
Mind you, I've seen people, like, you know, that's one thing I was like,
the viewing. Yeah.
You're like, not going to have a coffin, something. Now, I understand because he was very burned very badly. You know, you want a closed casket. The problem is the casket wasn't a cat. It was like just like.
It was a metal box with like straps on it, like latches. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And yeah, I mean, I've been to viewings at people's houses.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, Catholicism. It's normal. Yeah. Catholicism is very big on that. You'll have the body at the house,
yeah.
You know, if it isn't like, you know, horribly, you know, like if the person didn't die in an auto wreck or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, you'll have, you know, the viewing, and then they take the body and it goes into a point of internment, but it doesn't stay at your house. It's not like, you know, like back in biblical days where the body stayed with the family for like 3 days until you took it out and put it in a catacomb or whatever. But this literally, like, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to leave it in there. Well, lo and behold, I mean, Jody, I got to admit, I'm not weird, but if you left a dead body in my house,
I would be curious, yeah.
I would be like, dude, what, you know, having, you know, at 6 years old, I didn't know very much about death. I'd want to go and be inquisitive and be like, what's, like, really, truthfully, like, it sounds weird, but like, what does he look like?
Yeah.
He's been missing for 3 years. Is he just skeletal remains? Is he, you know, like, is he mummified?
Yeah.
He was in Kuwait. Like, what? No, they just leave him there.
With the flag.
And so, you know, yeah. Jody wants to put the war medals with him.
Yeah.
Also, you know, he wants to give back to Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
So he wants to go through and...
Well, he tells him, like, you know, your uncle would want, you know, you to keep him.
Yeah.
But Jody wants to give him.
Yeah, he wants to give him to him.
Yeah. I get that, but...
So he goes down and he unlatches.
Yeah.
But he doesn't actually go into...
Yeah, because the mom stops him.
Yeah, the mom, like, stops
get
him.
Get away from there, yeah.
So he gets caught. And then due to the fact that, you know, he's been acting the fool, you know, calling his teacher a coward, calling her boyfriend, you know, a chump-stained cat, you know...
Call me
and, you know, a shyster.
He doesn't say any of that, but it was...
No,
it
was implied.
It was implied.
And then, you know, now he's down there trying to get at a dead body in the living room.
Yeah.
She's like, yo, you're grounded.
Yeah. You know? She doesn't ground him yet. She just tells him to go upstairs.
And so
she doesn't ground him until the actual viewing.
That is true.
Because when they do the viewing, obviously, Jeb shows up and you know, he wants, you know, to talk to the boy, you know, so they go out. He talks about his leg. Like, hey, man, yeah, I know you're curious. Like,
yeah, you want to see it?
Yeah, you want to see it?
You ever seen a grown man naked? That's what it reminded me of. Yeah. He's like, literally, like, dude, if this guy, like, had some, you know, kinship to the family, some bond with your uncle.
Yeah.
And then he shows up to your house.
That's my thing is, what is the relationship?
What is Jed? Like, yeah. I never understood
because
what Jed was.
They never served together, no. Obviously, because he was in, you know, the Korean War. He's much older than him. But he says that, you know, when he was younger, he filled his head with great war stories about his battles and stuff like that.
And he made him want to be a soldier.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I could think, the only parallel comparison I could draw is that maybe he was the recruiter.
Could be, yeah.
Maybe he recruited him in high school because obviously he probably still stayed enlisted, but he, you know, because obviously he had disability.
Yeah.
So now he couldn't serve any longer, so maybe he came back into the private sector, but he was still military. And then he was working at the recruiting station. Maybe he met Sam when he was in high school, and that.
Well, maybe, okay, here's what I was thinking, because when he was talking about, when Jody was telling him that he wanted to be just like his uncle, that's when he says, you know, get those thoughts out of your head. You know, we don't know what we're doing now like we knew back then. So he talks about World War One and Two, or World War Two, and then he talks about Vietnam and Korea like they, you know, we didn't know what we were doing there. So I'm assuming maybe he was in World War Two. Maybe he was really young, you know, because a lot of them lied about their age.
Drummer boy?
I mean, World War Two. But like, you know, dude. A lot of them lied about their age. He could have been like 16.
But what? World War II ended in 1945?
And then 30 years later.
Yeah.
He'd be like, what?
95 would be 1945 to 1995.
That's about 50 years. He would have been like years? 60 in the 60s.
Yeah, that's true. He could have been like 16.
So, yeah, he could have been like 66 or something.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Oh, man, but he's Isaac Hayes, man. He's slicky smooth. He could have been like 18 and we just wouldn't know.
Either way, it doesn't add up. Yeah. But anyways, he you know, he could have been somebody, I don't know. He could have been somebody.
Regardless, he had some form of a bond with Sam. And he realized he saw in Jody the fact that Sam had such an impact on his life.
Yeah.
And that, you know, basically Jody had the propensity to go the wrong way. So he's trying to, like, put the kid straight. He's like, just like, you know, you're saying. He's like, no. You know, we're kind of like we're being fed lies. Like, we don't know what we're really going to war for, in lack of better terms, is what he's getting at. And so Jody's like, but what? Like, no.
This changes everything.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see that leg again.
Yeah. Well, he tells him that, you know, he saw a killer in his uncle's eyes.
Yeah.
That, you know, he thought he was a soldier, but really he was a killer.
He liked the killing.
He liked killing people. That's all it was. Fortunately, there are some people that do sign up for military because that's
I mean,
what they are. They're killers. They're not serving because they want to serve the country. They're serving because they got
killed legally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. And which he says, you know, well, isn't that like what you want out of a soldier? He's like, no, like you want to be, you know, you got to have, you know, your brother's back, you know, this, it's about, you know, serving your country, not about freaking murdering people. So luckily Jody got that message before he grew up and just started just massacring people.
Well, if he didn't get it from Jed, he's going to get it in about 10 minutes of movie time because, you know, in that time, you know, this time it's also close to July the 4th, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's a smaller community and they're kind of planning a big, huge event.
Huge festival.
Where they're going to go. They do it annually and they're going to go through and have this big, you know, carnival. And
just, you know, it's just like a giant festival, town festival.
Small town America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but when he goes inside, obviously he's like distraught now. He's like, wow, everything that my uncle, you know, told me might not be true, or Jed's lying. Like, he's not telling the truth. So he goes back inside, and that's when his mom's boyfriend, still talking
about
him,
pops off again.
He goes, why don't you just shut the hell up?
You stinking commie crook.
He does tell him that. He does tell him to shut the hell up, and that's when his mom.
That's when he gets grounded.
That's it.
That's when it, and you know, with what I was talking about earlier, that's when he gets excused and he gets grounded for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
He's not going to the carnival. He's not, you know, he's not getting to do the fair. Nothing. No turkey leg for him. No hot dogs and soda pops. You ain't getting nothing.
You're not getting, you're not popping fireworks. Nope. Nothing.
Which is a good thing in this town, which you'll find out later.
That, see, that's what I'm talking about with these movies, man. I love Maniac. Love Maniac Cop, obviously. Maniac Cop's great. But that's supposed to be, like, wild.
Yeah.
And, yes, this movie is a weird kind of take on a killer, on an undead killer. But my thing is, like, why? Anyway, well, let me get to it. So, that night, he's obviously very upset because he can't do anything. And, he talks to his uncle, you know, his picture. And pretty much just says, you know, whoever goes against this country and is unpatriotic, you'll deal with them. Like, you know, kick their ass pretty much, you know, from beyond the grave.
And that is like saying the, you know, like the mummy, you know, Imhotep.
That,
you know,
like,
that is the Conjuring right there. That is just, you'll awaken a force. Yeah,
his pride, Jody's pride and his love for his uncle brings him back from the dead. So he rises from his metal sarcophagus and he's back, but he looks like what he, I mean, he looks like Maniac Cop, honestly. He really does. Yeah. And so he goes upstairs, gets his medals from Jody. Jody's asleep, he's passed out, pins them not on his uniform,
which I thought was really cool, because actually in boot camp, when you are going through things, there is hazing.
Yeah.
And part of your hazing is that they do oftentimes, much like fraternal life, they will take your rank and everything and your badges and they'll stab them into your bare chest, especially in other countries like Russia. There's like videos on it all the time. And they will like put your rank on your chest and punch it. Every member of the squad will come and punch it into your chest. So when he actually put it on the, like, even though it's decayed, but he puts it on the flesh, I'm like, dude, he's amping himself up. This is actually like accurate. So I'm like, dude, I'm ready for it. Come on, Sam. Let's probably get busy.
The only accurate thing.
Well, one of them. So at this point, he's all ranked up. He's ready to go out and, like, you know, basically he's, you know, he's ready to go back and take the country back.
Yeah.
Make America great. He's going to do it.
He's going to do it again.
So he
this is before everything.
Absolutely. You know? So he goes out into the night. Well, not only is he a dweller of the night, but they go over and they jump to a cemetery.
Yeah.
Now, at the cemetery, you have got these rowdy little beer drinking, snot-nosed commie punks. And they've got their spray cans. And they're, you know, they're tagging graves. And the funny part about it is, Sam's already got a grave dug. He's already got the tombstone.
Yeah, he's going to be buried and everything.
He's already for internment into the grave. So they're over there and, you know, much in, you know, the theory of this movie, they're spray painting anarchy symbols on gravestones, and they've got swastikas because you can't have one without the other. Apparently.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you want anarchy, but you also want dictatorship.
Absolutely, you want free dictatorship, no rule dictatorship,
which is wild. So
they're out there drinking beer, going wild, causing chaos.
Now, at this point, you're on Sam's side. You're like, dude. Like,
get him.
Yeah, throw it in.
And now this is when you start to, like, dissolve into the fact of, hey, I know where this movie's going. Hey, this movie's basically going to be this guy coming back, and anyone who's anti-American or spreading the sentiment, they're going to get attacked by the unholy undead body of Sam.
Oh, we forgot how he gets his suit, because he does wear an Uncle Sam suit.
Oh, yeah, he does.
In the movie, with the mask and everything. There's a guy on stilts who... For some reason, he's dressed up in his Uncle Sam garb. He's part of the festival, which, mind you, the festival's not till the next day. He's just going around, like, perving on women.
He is literally... So he goes up to a window. And okay, when I first saw it, I'm like, dude, it's Scream. It's very Scream-esque.
Yeah.
It's this guy. He wants to see the boobies, right? So he's, like, over there doing his little pervo thing. He's like, hey, baby, you know, waiting outside the window. And he's going to be like, hey, Becky. And she's going to be like, oh, my God, Jim, stop it. No, this movie goes a completely different direction. So he's there at the window. And she's, like, going, and we'll get a little side note about this scene. But she is literally, like, going full frontal.
Yeah.
She's getting out of her bathrobe. First she starts, like all horror movies, she starts brushing her hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a flimsy negligee thing. And then he's outside the window. You can totally see him. And then, like, obviously she goes fully naked. And then she looks over to the left and whatever, I forget this kid's name. But she's like, what? Like, he gets spooked.
Yeah.
And then he literally, like, backs up. And she's like, Richard, if I ever see you over here ever again.
I'm calling the police.
Oh, I'm calling the police next time. No, I'm sorry. If you're on stilts looking in my window, I don't care where we are.
I'm calling the police then. Yeah. He doesn't, like, jump off of his stilts and then, take off.
No, he doesn't, like, try to dismount, I guess you would say, off of the stilts so that he can run away to the... No, he walks away calmly and nonchalantly on his freaking, like, 8-foot stilts.
Yeah.
Off into the night. Now, the funny part about that scene was that is the only scene of nudity in the whole film.
Yeah.
And the young lady did not want to do full frontal. So what they did was they kept pressuring her. They were like, hey, will you, come on. Can we see the jigglies? And she was like, no. So then she thought about it overnight. And then she came back and she said, you know what? Yeah, I'll do full frontal on one condition. They said, what's that one condition? She goes, if I get to keep one of the production masks of Uncle Sam.
Okay.
And so she traded a lifetime of everyone seeing her jiggly bits for a mask on a low, I mean, it's a low budget film, which is funny because the budget for the movie was like $3 million.
Yeah.
And you think of how many movies we reviewed here in the past few weeks that had nowhere near that budget that like.
Did pretty good.
I think Isaac Hayes was probably $1.9 million.
Isaac Hayes probably was like a big chunk of that, but.
Yeah. So Stilt Man, back to the story of the movie. Stilt Man runs off into the night. And he's like, oh, crap. Oh, no. Cops are going to get me now. Once again, not dismounting the stilts. He's just going to keep walking.
Yeah, it's just... And then he runs into a tree. Sam gets him. Kills him, obviously. And cuts his suit up. Because he had shears with him. Where he got the shears, I don't know. The hedge trimmers. And so that's how he cuts up the suit. Cuts, obviously, the pants to length. That's where he needs them. And, he was a tailor, I guess.
Absolutely.
And so that's when he goes to the graveyard and he starts. Well, he kills one of them. The other dude has to take a piss. One of the guys had to take a piss.
Yeah. One of the guys had to take like a 9-minute piss. So literally, if you're ever anywhere and you're drinking a 6-pack, you have to take a 9-minute piss. Go somewhere where nobody can get you.
Yeah.
Don't just stand by the graves and, just handle business.
Yeah. So he gets got by Uncle Sam, throws him into his grave, and buries him alive. And he has, this hand coming up.
Which was pretty good because you're still on Sam's side to an extent. Because you're like, okay, evil creeping peeper.
Yeah.
Like, got his comeuppance. Like, yeah, he's gone. Okay, the anarchy socialist, they're done. Right? Like, I'm going to, Antifa, I'm throwing them in a grave. Okay? Like, you're gone. And then I'm going to go through and, obviously. So then the two friends that were left from the three in the cemetery, they're like, hey, where's Jimbo or whatever his name was? Like, I don't know, man. I got to go back for him. Very, very loyal, very militaristic.
He's like, no, man.
I'm going back for him. He goes back.
Yeah. One of them goes back because the other one had to go home before his dad finds out.
Yeah, because his dad's going to come home drunk. And God forbid that his dad's home drunk when he comes home drunk. So he goes back, and obviously he's dispatched with a quickness. He's gone.
Yeah, he gets hung up.
Yeah.
He gets put full mast. Uncle Sam gets the rope to the flagpole and, hangs him high.
Yep.
Yeah. It would have been funny if he saluted the flag. If he would have saluted him as the flag, that would have been funny.
Well, if you watch certain points of the kills in the movie, they do actually play taps, which is kind of hilarious. I'm like, dude, you're literally playing taps.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, that's just a whole nother level.
But then at the festival, when it goes down, obviously the remaining D-bag, he's supposed to go up and sing the national anthem. He
Roseanne Barred it. He totally Roseanne Barred it. Everybody's like stoked. Wow. You can't get to the festival without getting to Barry, okay?
Oh.
So the only way that you find out that Jody somewhat has a, like a semblance of a heart.
That's right. Yes.
Is that essentially.
So Jody sneaks out. He's like, I'm not going to miss this amazing festival.
Yeah. It's going to be fire. Yeah. I'm getting like ribs.
Well, they're having like, obviously they got their, you know, people dressed up in their Civil War gear and their stuff like that. Different time periods of America, of course. And the one of the teachers has his students. Oh, the teacher,
the commie teacher,
the coward. He's you know, has his students dressed up. You know, George Washington, one of the kids, George Washington, but doesn't have the hatchet for the cherry tree or whatever it was. And he's like, well, let me go get it. So he goes to the classroom to look for the hatchet, and he gets killed by Uncle Sam because
with the hatchet,
yeah, with the
in
hatchet.
The head, yeah.
So he's done. So you're like, okay, that's kind of weird. Like, you know, he wasn't really, like, bad. He just, you know, he had his own beliefs, you know? But not Uncle Sam, no.
He's a traitor, man.
He's a traitor.
Treacherous traitor. Run into Canada.
Yeah. And then you do get introduced to...
Barry,
who is a kid in a wheelchair. Now, I don't understand why he was in a wheelchair. Because, like, I mean, I understand, like, what happened to him.
The fireworks blew up and exploded and just...
But it was fireworks. It wasn't, like, a... Okay. So he's, like, half burned on the side of his body.
And he's blind.
And he's blind, which that can happen with fireworks.
Yeah.
But, like, what are you dealing with where, like, it paralyzed you?
They just...
So I was playing with a C4 and it just blew up and...
M80 in the tailbone.
But his mom is like, we're going to show up and we're going to show all the parents because of what their kids did to my son. And now, I'm like, oh, okay. So like they probably like.
Now, here's a funny story on that. Now, I went deep diving on the mom.
Yeah.
So mom is Madge. Barry's mom's name Madge. Don't matter who the dad is because the dad was just like. He was like kind of like a eunuch jelly ball kind of guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't
the only like good guy.
So
he was the only good one. He wasn't a traitor.
I thought I recognized her. I'm like, dude, where do I know this lady from?
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, man, she had to have been in something else.
Yeah.
This is nowhere in any like IMDb page or anything like that. So I was like, man, I've seen this lady before. So I went back in. So remember the girl in Carrie with the red hat?
Uh-huh.
That's her.
Really?
So she was in Carrie. She actually set Carrie up with Tommy Rogers and all that. Remember, she's the one who sets up the date for Sissy Spacek. So she was in Carrie as the red hat. Then she's also Linda, the evil friend in Halloween. Another comparison with John Carpenter and Isaac Hayes and her were both in John Carpenter films before. Then you go out for that, and I mean... It's not exactly horror-based, but it is one of those niche-y, like, cult films. So she was in Rock and Roll High School with the Ramones.
Oh, nice.
And one of her latest roles, she was actually in The Devil's Rejects. And that's where I remembered her from.
Oh.
And because she's older, obviously, in this film than she was. You know, she's very... She might be, like, late teens, early 20s in Carrie.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, in Halloween. Because she's one of, you know...
Yeah.
She's one of, you know... Lori's friends.
Yeah.
So they're younger. But literally, I'm like, dude, I know this lady from somewhere. And so I was like, they don't mention that anywhere. Her name is PJ Souls. And you like literally have to like literally pull up her page and then deep dive on her page. And then it will like. But I was like, why did she have such an insignificant role? Because she's just like this, like.
She's like side character. Like,
she's
very...
a complete side character. And she's just so unlikable. Like, she's just, I mean, don't get me wrong. She was unlikable in Carrie. But in this film, she's like ninth tier.
Yeah.
Like the other people, like, you know, the mom, the person who plays her, you know, Jody's mom and his aunt. They're
she
not well-known actresses. She could have played something higher in the movie.
Yeah, she could have played Jody's the budget, bro. You had Shaft already. Like, that's it.
Yeah, that's
like
it.
Sorry, we got to bump you down. To
like he just did Shaft in Africa, and he really, he's coming off that to come here and do this crap. Shaft at a barbecue. So yeah, but that was something that I found you know,
that's wild.
Kind of interesting.
That's actually pretty cool.
And just the fact that, you know, like I said, Isaac Hayes was, you know, obviously in Carpenter's Escape from New York.
Yeah.
She was in Halloween. It's just so weird because really, truthfully, their characters, except for a little bit when she has a nervous breakdown, they have no part together.
Yeah.
So now Barry, the, you know,
the victim of.
Yeah. The victim of firework vandalism.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact
who
that.
Somehow is like now, I'm like, not now, but later on, he's like. Like, I don't know, like a freaking...
Clairvoyant?
It, yeah.
Okay, the fireworks blew him into clairvoyancy.
That's what happened, man.
Hey, he not lost, only... Okay, he lost his sight, but he gained his second sight.
He gained his third sight. Just that's saying. What he, his third eye
because
was
for
open.
Some odd reason, he and Sam, because, but, like, you'll see later, but he and Sam have, like, this connection.
Little connection. He goes, you know who I am.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, one, nobody notices Uncle Sam caressing this little kid's face.
Well, yeah. Well, that's later in the movie. That's after, like, so we've got to get to, you know, we've got to get to the fair.
Oh, yeah, the fair,
so they,
yeah.
They get to the fair, and obviously the Roseanne Barr situation, the third kid is just hamming it up.
Yeah.
Being a little anarchist, Nazi punk.
Yeah. And Uncle Sam sees this. He's like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, this,
he sees everything.
We're not dealing with this unpatriotic crap here.
Absolutely not. So the kids get into like a 19-mile sack race.
Dude, this sack race was like a marathon.
Impressive. So they're like running around and just, I mean, twist, turns, it's going through a freaking orchard.
Dude, this,
all this stuff.
Okay, like sack race is like, hey, this is like a 100-meter sack race, right?
Yeah, and it's usually a straight line.
Yeah,
you're in a sack.
Not
it's
this
not,
one, dude. This goes off road.
This was American Ninja sack race. Gotta pull yourself against the suspension bridge,
dude. This, yeah, this sack race, and dude, this kid, this D-bag. Is like knocking people over.
Oh, dude, he's acting like the big chick at the Black Flag show. He's just knocking people
oh
out
my
away.
Gosh.
He is. He just, it's like he's pogo slam dancing and he just keeps hitting everybody.
No one's going to know what that reference.
Okay. Pogoing is a dance in, usually during the pit, and it was a new wave dance back in the early 80s. And you basically jump up and down and you bump into other people.
Yeah.
So you jump up and down like a pogo stick. That's why it's called the pogo. So you're a pogo stick.
Yeah.
So that's what he is. He's trapped in this burlap sack, and he's pogoing into everybody.
Yeah, he is.
And just knocking them out of the way.
Yeah. And there was a girl at a Black Flag concert that we went to that she was
just very angry.
She wasn't even pogoing. She was just wrecking ball.
She was just moose hammering everybody. She was a moose hammer.
Yeah. So, yeah, this kid is – and then he's like, oh, I'm going to take a shortcut to – it looked like he was going to try to cheat and, like, take a shortcut to win. So he falls down a hill, and he goes through this orchard, and Sam's right there. And he's like, hey, man, like, can you help me find the road? And doesn't talk. But what's cool is, like, every time he steps, like, keeps hopping away.
Sam's, like right.
He's, like, right.
Either parallel with him or at the last blow, he's in front of him.
Yeah. And this kid gets his head cut off, man. He's like, no, we're not doing that. We're not. You unpatriotic commie son of a bitch.
Exactly. I got you, number three. I got you.
So he kills him. He's dead. He's gone. And
just as that happens, for some odd reason, there's a... I didn't understand this part. There's a disgraced, like, congressman or something.
Dude, there's this congressman who's like... Honestly, like, I couldn't make anything, like...
I couldn't make heads or tails. I don't know what he's doing in the small town. I think he wanted to just come to small-town America where maybe somebody wouldn't know him. And he's trying to do the whole, you know, baby-kissing, meet-and-greet.
Yeah.
And everyone he, like, greets is just like, screw you. Hate your guts.
Yeah,
go
everybody
home,
hates him.
Go
yeah.
to hell. Everyone's, like, just giving him the business.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, you know, you're being, like, you know... And so he's got his advisor. So he keeps talking to his advisor. And he's like, man, you know, what am I going to do? And... He's like, well, you know, we're going to take pictures with this Barry kid and da, da, da. You know, he got burned up last year at the 4th of July.
He set off an IED.
Yeah, exactly.
And it made him a clairvoyant.
Got hit by a pineapple bomb. And yeah.
I just want to know what they were doing. Dude, I just got it because he is like burned. He is like.
Well, the thing that got me about it was, okay, we used to play with fireworks as kids. And don't get me wrong, there were people who used to do bad things to animals and stuff with fireworks. But I never seen a kid get blown up with the fireworks.
Dude, I mean, I've seen people like...
I've seen people blow their fingertips and stuff off. Yeah,
their fingers off, blow, like, you know, their hand.
Yeah.
But, like, I've never seen,
they made it seem like they, like covered that's them what in I'm honey. Saying,
like, he, like, set off a grenade or something. Like, he... like, he... like, a fire went off. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, out in rural America, yeah, you know, you got your grass fire, stuff like that. You know, that's why you got to be careful. Some have restrictions with fireworks, but... I don't know. It just seemed like this wasn't like the town that would have one, those kinds of restrictions, and two, like a dry enough town to where it like a fire would go up and then burn this kid, you know, from the side.
I think they just took him to the gas station, the Shell gas station, strapped him in between, blew some stuff.
I mean,
up.
Even if these kids were like shooting Roman candles at him, it's not gonna like
paralyze you unless he like fell and hit his head the wrong way
and
that's snapped his spinal
and became
column.
Clairvoyant, and then
hey, things happen. So, you know, you get introduced to this, like, whole, once again, a whole other cavalcade of characters comes up. You've got a girl cooking ribs.
Who's this pothead cooking
who
ribs?
Who wants to smoke weed?
This smoker who's smoking.
But you gotta realize.
Dude, did you see those ribs?
That's what I'm saying. Crispy.
Dude, she fucked up those ribs, man. I would not eat those. And she's like, okay, so she pulls, this is like the most upset I've been in the movie. She pulls out those ribs, right? And then she's like butchering them with a butcher's knife. And I'm like, well, if you got to do that, those ribs aren't tender and they're probably not good. Like, and she's like, I'm like, dude, get a filet.
She's also not seasoning them for anything. She's not like putting any sauce on. She's not keeping them tender. She's not doing anything.
No.
She's just straight dry, like, no love freaking ribs.
There's no love in these ribs, man. She deserved to die. But
well, she's also kicking it on, you know, cooking it on like the briquettes.
Well, yeah, she's smoking it. But that's the thing is, like, in a smoker, like, you know, we wrap our ribs up in foil and season the crap out of it. Because
you savages want, like, soft tenderoni meat. She wanted dust.
She wanted, God, just
exactly.
Like, hard bark is what she wanted.
Like, you want ribs or you want the bone? You can't tell the difference. Don't worry about it. Give me that little skinny joint.
Yeah. So she's making these ribs, and she's like, you know, I need to take a smoke break. So she goes and she lights up some joints, or she was going to light up a joint, and the cop got her.
Auntie's love interest.
His love interest came up, and you know, shakes her down, takes the joints from her, and he keeps them for himself.
Yeah, because he's gonna smoke those later with the auntie.
Yeah, so like, you go smoke those ribs, and I'll smoke this. Yeah, everybody in this film deserved to die.
Yeah,
including the uncle. He's not good when you find out. So he's like. He goes to the little shooting the ducks, like the little BB gun thing.
Yeah, the little carnival games.
Yeah, and he takes the gun, breaks it off from the chain, which nobody notices. Again, there's so many people, and nobody notices
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, and it's a carnival game, so you got to think, like, there's going to be people that come behind you.
Yeah.
And like, hey, like, you know, five shots for a dollar or whatever. There's going to be somebody behind you that wants to play the game. No. He steals the whole gun and
nobody
like,
notices. Yeah,
everybody just keeps noticing. Hey, who's that Uncle Sam? He plays a really good part. They keep referencing him.
Yeah, oh, Sarah Isaac Hayes.
Yeah,
he sees.
Oh, he sees through it.
He sees the eyes. It's the yellow eyes.
Yeah, the lizard eyes.
Which is weird too.
Shaft.
Shaft knows, man. Exactly. He knows when something's up.
Damn right.
He wasn't that jive ass turkey, Uncle Sam.
Shut your mouth.
But yeah, he stupid. Yeah, he's shooting off. Mom, you know, goes to meet her boyfriend. You know, her commie lawyer boyfriend. Mind you, these are all jokes, by the way. Like, don't take these seriously. So goes to, you know, he's like hunched. Okay, mind you, he's dressed up as Abraham Lincoln. He's on top of like a podium or something, sitting down. Mom goes up there to, you know, I think give him his meal or whatever. And he's, like, hunched over, and she's like, hey, like, what's wrong? Now, she doesn't tap him. She, like, shoves him.
Yeah, she shoves him off the side. So he wasn't dead to begin with a bullet to the dome.
He was, like, asleep or something.
Yeah, she just he would already be dead. He would, like, have, like, his whole right arm broke. He'd be, like, Barry in a wheelchair next year. Another 4th of July.
But he'd be a clairvoyant.
He would.
So she pushes him off. He's dead. He has a gun... He has a gunshot wound.
To the head, just like Lincoln.
Now, mind you, those things are like, they're like little cap guns. They're like pellets, maybe. They're not like a 9mm. They're not,
Like, bro, if we know anything about the explosives in this movie.
It's not a bird shot. It was
and
just...
And the fact that it can be amplified, this movie's going to take anything with an explosion to the next level.
Dude, okay. When he's shooting the ducks, it's like, you know, it's like pellets. It's just like a cap here, and it pops up.
I was blowing out the whole back of the duck. You just didn't see it. It's like a 50 cal.
But then, like, the head wound, the gunshot, and the dude's head is like a freaking, like, he got shot by a 22.
Yeah, but it wasn't even a 22, because a 22 will go in one side. I mean, get into, like, guns and stuff here. But a 22 will pierce the skull.
Yeah.
But it won't make it out the back.
Yeah, it'll just bounce around.
It'll ping pong. That's why most people
this was like, he got shot by, like...
This was like in and out. It had an entrance and an exit wound. So this had to be like at least a 9 mil. Like in one side, and they're not giving you a 9 mil at a flipping carnival to shoot paper ducks. Just not happening. But doesn't matter, because this broad, whether or not a gun's going to kill you, I'm going to shove you the hell off a podium.
Yeah, so she would have died anyway.
He would have anyways. Because you know what?
So now, mind you, they don't stop the festival.
Well, they contemplate it. They call the emergency crew, and then they're like, no, you know, the party must go on.
Yeah.
Fuck. You know, we had this shit last year with that little burned kid. Like,
we're not doing this
again. We're not shutting down our community organization for anything. You know, shut up, Barry. Clairvoyant sucker.
So the show must go on. Congressman needs to speak. Like, he needs to talk. But they can't find him now. He's supposed to go up and talk. Well, he's like, well, you know what? We got to do the firework display, so we're going to do the whole firework display.
Yeah. So, but wait a minute. Don't you want some ribs? So we go back to the ribbling girl, who's basically burning the holy Hannah out of
those ribs.
Oh, that's
right, yeah.
And she goes because, you know, somebody wants some of her lovely burnt meat, and she's like, yeah, I'll get you. So she pops open the smoker, and lo and behold, number three's head is stuck there in, obviously, the smoker.
Yeah, so you got another one there. And that's when they find out, like...
But that's when he gets Rib Girl with the cleaver.
Oh, yeah.
Because Rib Girl's been chopping those lovely, tender, you know, cuts of pork with the meat cleaver. And Sam, obviously, due to the fact that she's a commie pot smoker, she gets the heave-ho with the cleaver.
Oh, my gosh.
So she's done. So now the show must proceed. We must get fireworks.
Yeah. And when the fireworks are lit up, you see that the congressman is tied to the firework display. And the only one who sees it is the aunt's boyfriend, the sheriff. And so he's, like, trying to rush up there. Everybody's like, oh, my gosh, looks so cool. Because they probably don't give a shit about the congressman either. They're like, fuck it, let
him everyone's
burn.
Like, we hate you. So.
Go ahead and light him up.
These are throwing cigarettes at him from the corner.
Later. Go faster. So he gets lit up, and he blows up. And when he blows up, sheriff dude falls down the hill because, you know, the explosion, you know. So he falls down the hill. And right when he falls down, that's when Uncle Sam has the American flag hoisted up and impales him with the American flag with freedom.
Absolutely. Death by freedom. But nobody else sees this. Yeah, no, they're just at the base of a little tiny hill. It's not like they're like on top of like Mount Fuji or something.
Yeah.
Where you see this little firework.
Yeah, he's like around the corner.
He's like literally like one tree line and a fence away from full. And everybody's just like, oh my gosh. And yeah, the cop gets impaled and nobody even sees it. Because nobody's even noticing yet that Uncle Sam's doing all this crap.
Yeah.
So at that point, you know, Madge, Barry's mom, she has a nervous breakdown. She's, you know, she's gone, you know.
Oh yeah, because she's like
Uncle Sam's been touching on her son's cheek and mentally talking to him.
Well, what we forgot about is that when the dude gets shot in the head, and Jody's like, well, you know, he deserved it. Because Jody, remember, he says he deserved it. And that's when they decided to talk to him and finally tell him. And the aunt's like, you know, he needs to know about, you know, Sam. Like,
he's a bad man.
Yeah. So they finally tell him that he was very abusive. And it wasn't said, but I think it was implied that he was molesting the mom.
He was molesting the mom since she was 6 years old.
Since he was 6 years old. So, because obviously they grew up together. It was her brother. And, you know, that's... well, again, it wasn't said, but it was implied that that's what he was doing when they grew up. And when he married off to the aunt, she didn't tell her
that the mom was like, you know, rather than being like, hey, I'm going to be the sole bearer of this weight of the wicked crimes that this person does. Oh, good. He's going to do it to somebody else.
Yeah. And she tells him that. Yeah. But that's survivor mode. That's like, you know, of course, yeah. Look, you know, hindsight 2020, she was probably like, you know, dang, I should have told her that he was abusive, that he was this and that. But also, as just trying to survive and get away from that abuse, she's probably like, yeah, go do it to somebody else.
Yeah. Well, plus, she was probably locked in. She was probably still a young child at the time, or too young to obviously move out on her own.
Yeah. Because it sounded like he not only terrorized and abused her, but like the family as well, like the mom and dad. Like, he was just evil. Like, he was just an evil dude. So that's when Jody starts to see, like, okay, my uncle sucks. I don't want to be like him. I want to be like Jet.
I want to be like Jet.
I need to grow out my sideburns.
Absolutely.
And start kicking ass in bell bottoms. Exactly.
Need to go to CVS right now and buy 25 things of Copper Tone and some razors so I can shave my head. Glue it to my face.
Oh, yeah.
Become 40 shades darker and be Shaft.
Yes.
Dead ass.
He needs his own theme song.
Absolutely. But not only that, they form a gang.
Yeah.
So now, you know, Madge, mom, has had a breakdown. So who better to take care of your blind, paraplegic child than frickin' Jed?
Yeah.
A.K.A. Shafty McShaft. Yeah. So he's like, yeah. Okay.
What's wild is, like, well, they know him. It's small town. So he takes the boy with him. Him and Jody go off. And the dad's like, you listen to Jed now. You listen to what he says.
Yeah. Well, the dad just didn't want the kid anymore.
mean, he's like, screw it. He's a clairvoyant. He'll be all right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they have, like, this moment where he's like, oh, I know who it was. It was your Uncle Sam. Like, that's who did it. And Jody's like, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, that's who's killing all these people. Like,
And Barry's clairvoyant, like, literally. So he's already got this all figured out.
Yeah. And so at first, you know, I keep wanting to call him Shaft, but I know he's not Shaft in this movie.
Jed.
But Jed, he's like, I don't, you know, he goes, I think you're right. He goes, because I saw it in his eyes when I ran into him. Like, again, dude, he knows. Like, he sees it. So finally, they go to the aunt's house, and he gives her the gun because, you know, Jed is always packing. So he gives him the gun, gives her the gun, say, hey, if anything happens, like, use it. Like, no matter what. Goes to the kitchen, call 911, and there he is. There's Uncle Sam standing right behind him, pretty much telling him, like, you did this to me. You know, you put these stories into my head. I went to war, and, you know, now look at me. And he's, like, telling him, like, no, like, you weren't serving your country.
Yeah, you went for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, you went to go, and then he gets thrown through the wall, pretty much. Right.
Sam's got those powers, bro.
Yeah. And so he leaves to go get the cannon.
Yeah, well, they tell him because, one thing we didn't touch on, when the parade kicks off, Jed has a cannon.
Yeah, he's firing off
and he fires off a cannon, and it's kind of like a starter pistol, basically, is what it equates to. He fires a cannon, and then, woo, let's begin.
Yeah.
And it starts. So Jed's got the cannon out in front of the schoolhouse.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, you know, we've got to do this. So, of course, you know, you've got Barry there. Barry's not good at a whole lot, except just calling the shots. You know, he's clairvoyant. So he's in the laundry room. He's in the kitchen.
Dude, yeah. He's like.
So he's like calling him out, like, because he's now like somehow like Michael Myers connected with the victims. I don't know. The kid's great. So, and then of course, Jody's like, you know, I can hold my uncle off.
Yeah, I can just
go and
him.
Get the cannon.
Yeah. So he goes and he gets the cannon, brings it back to the house, and mind you, he has like the cannonballs, but he leaves them at the school.
Yeah.
But he has them when he gets to the house.
Had a couple in his pocket, bro. Took a couple. Dude, he was packing. You already said he had that gun to pass
off. That's true.
He had the piece.
He had the
He probably had them cannonballs in his back pocket, just chilling, just waiting for that moment. He's got a blackjack in his armpit, dude. Yeah. All kinds of stuff.
So Barry still standing, not standing, but still sitting in front of the house.
Yeah, Barry's outside now.
And he's, like, telling Jed, like, okay, they're coming through the door.
It's like a clairvoyant play-by-play. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Jody and Sam are having this moment of like, you know, he's like, your pride for me brought me back, and, you know, now I'm here for you. And he's like, okay. He goes, well, then I'll join you. Like, just to try to hold him off, try to lure him in. So they walk outside. He's holding Sam's hand. And Jed's like, oh, I can't get a shot. Like, he's, you know, he's standing there. And Barry's like, he'll move. He'll be fine. So he shoots the cannon, misses. He misses him. But it goes into the house. And, you know, it explodes a little bit. It wasn't, like, huge. That one wasn't huge.
That one was not huge.
So, you know, he moves. House explodes. Jody falls, and then now Uncle Sam is like after Jody now. Like, you know, you traitor.
Exactly.
Now you're a commie bastard. Now exactly. I'm going to go after you.
Fruit of your mother's loins.
Yeah. Then finally, Jed lights another one off. It hits Sam, goes through the house.
Center mass. It hits him right center mass. Yeah. And then takes him, kind of pushes him back into the house, and then goes into the house. And then I guess it hit the hot water heater. Yeah. I'm not really sure what.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The first time, it does hit him.
Yeah.
And it goes into the house. Huge explosion. Like Michael Bay explosion. So it was a big explosion. I remember it now. It was a huge explosion.
Nowhere near the second one.
And so.
Well, the fall of Cybertron was the second one.
Because he comes out of the fire. He's like, you know, obviously going at Jody. And then finally Jed lights off another one and kills him. And then the whole fucking house explodes.
Oh, big time.
Dude, it's just like, dude. Now, mind you, it's a cannonball. It's not.
They have no explosive properties at all. It's basically a ball of iron. Like, that's all it was. Well, the explosion was in the cannon itself.
Yeah.
It was packed with black powder. You lit the fuse. It blew up the powder and made the ball a projectile. Bullets don't blow up when they're in people.
Yeah.
Like.
Though this probably hit, like, the main gas line.
The gas line of that house, the six around it, the Texaco station six blocks down, the nuclear reactor built under the house during the Cold War.
This thing blew up.
Oh, did it ever.
But now, you know, it's done. Jed saved the day. You know, the next day, finally, Jody, I guess I'm assuming it's at their house now, his mom's house, not the aunt's house anymore. Because, I mean, her house is gone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing left of that house.
Yeah. So he's in the backyard, and he's throwing away pretty much all of his military toys and everything that had to do with his wanting to be in the military. After finding out who his uncle was, he's like, you know what, I don't want to be like him. So he's throwing away all of his, you know, jet G.I. planes, Joes, tanks, G.I. Joes, stuff like that. And so, you know, his mom sees him. He's like, you know, good. Like, he's not. Now, the weird part is, okay, he's doing this. He had this, you know, kind of, you know, reality check, and he's no longer wanting to be like his uncle. But then when he turns around, camera pauses on him, and then it's like this dramatic music plays, like, oh, he's not really, you know, like at the end of Thriller when Michael Jackson turns around.
But you see his eyes changing. You know, he's still like the cat demon thing.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, Jody was just smiling. Like, he's like, hey, like, I'm better now. Like, I'm cool. But the music did not match, like, the atmosphere. So it's like a happy ending with, like, scary, dramatic music. Well,
they had actually, the crazy part about the movie is that they had actually, like, pitched a part two. That there was supposed to be a part two. So they probably left it open for such. Because, I mean, you look at Maniac Cop, right? Maniac Cop 1, Maniac Cop 2, Maniac Cop 3.
But Maniac Cop was decent. It's good.
But
it has Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. But at this time, you know, they were like, I think they were trying to pitch the fact, leaving a door open. Much like, you know, much like, obviously, you have Big Trouble in Little China. Kind of had, you know, that strange ending where, you know, Porkchop Express rolling off into the night.
And then
all is well in the world.
The monster,
and there's the giant, like, Yeti, like, ape beast on the back of the truck. So I think that's why they left the door open. So then the movie ends. And then in the credits, it basically rolls through. And, you know, it said, you know, dedicated to Fulci, Lucio Fulci, the Italian director who, like, he had, like, several. He did Zombie and Don't Torture Ducklings. Like, I think his first movie was a horror movie called Don't Torture the Ducklings.
Yeah.
And so he went through in the sub credits and did that. And then if you watch full through the credits, there's like a poem.
I did not watch through the
There's a poem. And it's like being read, and it's kind of like, you know, but they're playing like Yankee Doodle Dandy or whatever. Uh-huh. And you can't really, like, you can make out parts of it. I didn't really catch the whole poem, but that is there in the sub credits if you want to watch it.
Because I know at the beginning of the credits, it's like a whole, like, soldiers.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Soldier's Oath or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they went through and they did that. And then next thing you know, I mean, what happened? What happened, William Lustig? Where'd you go?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him, man.
Yeah.
The movie, it just had a weird storyline, man. It just really, because, like, I think it should have been, like, he comes back for revenge. You know, he was shot down by friendly fire, and now he's going after, like, the people who did him wrong.
Yeah.
But this was just, like, he was an abusive person, but yet, because you have mixed feelings.
Well, everybody was, what I didn't get about the movie was the duality of everyone. Okay, so you had the guy who came, essentially, the sergeant who came to tell about the passing. Okay. Yeah. So then he goes through and he's like, he's calling up his friends. He's back in his hotel room.
Oh yeah.
He's and like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to rail the ex-wife. I'm going to rail the sister. I'm even going to rail the little kid. I mean, he was going like all.
Dude, he like, was like.
He was just like trying to like lay it down. He's like, that's why I took this duty. Because like, you know, all the mourning women.
Oh yeah. When Jed go check the coffin to see if he's in there, it's actually the sergeant, yeah.
Because that was really, truthfully, the first person killed.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it just keeps going on and on. And everybody had, like I said, like this duality of nature where they're portrayed as being good, but their dark side,
yeah,
you know, was really like crooked and evil.
I think Jed was the only good one. Jed and the Barry's dad.
Dude, Jed wasn't good, man. He was a Tuskegee Airman. Tuskegee, man, he was from the past.
He could have been from the past.
He was Morpheus.
But that's the thing with these movies. Like, okay, in Maniac, which we'll probably talk one of these days about, Maniac had a good storyline. You had a good story. You had, you know, until the end where it got freaking weird with the mannequins.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Where'd you come up with this?
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of like the part. I think that, you know, the director was very influenced by Italian cinema. You had all, you know, okay, you had like Suspiria come out in, you know, the 70s.
Yeah.
You had these movies. And so I think he was very taken by like the Italian horror.
Yeah.
So he was coming out with these strange story plots. Like, you know, if you watch Suspiria, it's like weird colored rooms in a ballet school.
True, yeah.
And there's all these like horrible things going on. And there's a whole room filled with barbed wire.
Yeah.
Why is that? No one knows. It's just there. You know, oh, it's meant to keep people in the school. You can't escape. This is where you'll die. Okay. But you're just like, who's like randomly like, I need 19 bells of Constantina wire. For what? I'm building a room. Like, who's doing that? But yeah, I think that's kind of like what it got on.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, this movie was kind of like, it was painted with a very broad brush. It was all over the place.
Yeah, because you wanted to be on Sam's side, then you find out who he is.
Well, reading the synopsis of the movie, reading the summary, I thought that it was going to be like, literally, like him coming home, you know, kids going to Woodstock 99 or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, we got to set these kids straight. They don't have a patriotic bone in their body. And, you know, I'm going to go through, you know, I'm going to wave my flag and do my thing. That's what I was assuming the movie was going to be. But no, it was completely different.
It's just like him killing people for minor stuff.
Yeah.
I forgot to put, you know, the flag accidentally hit the floor. And then he just murders them.
Yeah. Get out of here, Barry. You rolled over the flag.
But the movie was a wild watch, man.
I mean, it was.
Of course, again, makeup, cosmetics, all that. Amazing. You know, practical effects will always beat.
Okay, the fingernails. Okay, the hands.
Yeah.
The hands in the coffin, they were pretty subpar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I will say about it. Like, later, it looks like they got their, you know, their designs down better.
Yeah.
Maybe their recipes as far as, like, what they were mixing up.
Yeah.
To make the appearance of the rotting flesh of Sam.
Yeah.
And the way that the eyes do kind of stand out from, you know, the Uncle Sam mask. Great. Great the way that they did that because they're recessed, they're dark.
Yeah.
And then you get that like almost demonic Pazuzu eye frame.
Yeah.
Which was great. But when he's in the coffin, they show like his fingernails and it looks literally like just chunks of like old sparklewood just glued onto somebody's fingers and then painted with like this gloss enamel shellac.
Yeah.
And if you were that far gone as far as like rotting and decaying, things don't gloss up. They tend to disintegrate.
Yeah.
So they would be like, you know, matte in nature. So when I saw the hands, I was like, dude, how bad is this makeup going to be? But
it wasn't bad. Yeah.
They pulled it out. Like they, you know, the only bad part was that, in my opinion, the hands. The hands were, you know.
I think he should have had more screen time with his face, not just the Uncle Sam mask.
Yeah.
But I mean, then again, this movie's all over the place
to
begin with. Oh, yeah. But that, ladies and gentlemen, was our review of Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
If you're feeling patriotic, go watch it.
Absolutely. You had a few too many drinks and some dry, zesty ribs.
Yeah, those strawberry lemonade Smirnoffs, the red, white, and blue ones.
Absolutely.
Some Twisted Teas. And go check this movie out.
Yeah. If you're trapped in a desk chair and feeling clairvoyant, you want to see one of your kind, go watch Uncle Sam.
But this movie was just a wild watch. Didn't know there was this kind of 4th of July horror film, but there is.
Glad there is.
And
makes me feel proud to be an American.
But yeah, thank y'all so much for listening. Please follow us on Instagram. The link will be in the description of this episode. And please share us with everyone, man. Share us around. Spread us. Spread us. Like the freedom of this movie. But yeah, thank y'all so much for listening. We'll see y'all
next week.